the song Angels We Have Heard on High. Can you, and everybody needs to take part of this, okay? Can you hum that? Okay. It does work because I've created everybody into be a humming, a humbug. Okay. And a humbug, if you know it or not. So I like, what is a humbug? So it's actually two words, but humbug is actually means like a deception, trickery. And that's where that word came from. Humbug, trickery. Bah humbug. All right. That's for Christmas. But what never eats at Christmas dinner? The turkey. It's always stuffed. The turkey never eats because it's always stuffed. All right. What is every parent's favorite Christmas carol? Silent Night. Exactly right. I'm sure that's happening in your house, right? Bradley's pretty quiet. And then finally, what did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. You're absolutely right. Good. You guys got it this morning. Christmas Eve. All right. Well, today, right? Today we step back, Christmas time, and we look around what's going in the world, and we look at Israel today. So many years ago when Christ came, or Christ was born in Bethlehem, but when Joseph and Mary went into Bethlehem, you know, Christ was along for the ride too at the time. But today we look at Israel and it's, you know, we have what's going on in Gaza. We have all this stuff taking place in Israel. And all we hear is, hey, we want peace there. And actually, State College, the borough of State College, I kind of thought this was funny. So State College, you know, Penn State area. I knew you guys were coming, so I had to throw a pen. No, just kidding. So Penn State area, the borough of State College passed a resolution calling for a ceasefire and peace for Israel and Hamas. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world does that do? Like, what in the world are people thinking? In the United States, here we sit, and people are sitting here in State College, Christmas time, and there's families in Israel, in the Gaza, that are just, there's turmoil taking place. And so that's what's taking place right now in Israel. And State College, people are coming together saying, hey, we need to pass a resolution. Come on, what's that do for a borough? But anyhow, I'm not going to get into all that this morning, because I could get riled up on that one. But anyhow, this morning, we are just stepping back, and probably so many churches, I would hope, so many churches throughout the country today are looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. That's where we're going to be. And the title of today's message is Peace is Available. And let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, we've heard this story, hopefully, many, many, many years of our life. And we want to come back around and look at this morning. And just, Lord, as we look at your birth, we know you didn't have to come here. We know that you came here because you love us. Help us to remember that this morning. Help us to realize in our heads, in our hearts, that you came here to provide salvation for us. And help us to remember that this morning and this tomorrow, and it just as we celebrate this time of your birth. In your name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read this all the way through. Starting in chapter 2, 1 through 20. Which, as I said, many of you probably, how many have been at a church Christmas Eve service for the last 50 years? How about the last 60 years? How about, that's not me. Okay, how about the last 70 years. 80 years? I know. So you've heard this story. This story right here. Time and time and time again. And guess what? You're hearing it again, because this is what we have to come back and remember. We need to remember these things. Verse 1. In those days, Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Then the angels left and had gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I'm going to be quite honest with you. This week, this thought went through my head this week. Because you know we're all sinners, right? And I had an awful week. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, when I threw a tool across a warehouse, I was like, how am I, Lord, supposed to stand here today and speak your truth of the scripture and look at me here? I'm just telling you where I'm coming from this week. Jen knows it because she came down to the office and was praying for me because I was just, you know. So what I'm saying is, how did Joseph feel here? Think about this. And I'm not putting myself in Joseph. I'm just putting myself of everybody. I'm a sinner just like you. We're here together for the Lord. That's why we are here. Joseph, I wondered about this week because he was a carpenter, right? And he has a pregnant future wife because they weren't married yet. And so what was going through his mind at all this thing? But if you look at your notes on the back, I'm kind of following the notes. This story doesn't start there. This story starts with politics. If you like it or not, this story starts in politics, which is kind of ironic because I feel like that's all I hear about on the news anymore is politics. Politics for the Democrats, politics for the Republicans, politics, politics, politics. We hear about politics in Israel. We hear about politics in Russia. We hear about politics all the time. And this story starts with politics. And politics was used here to fulfill prophecy. So God has full control over man's government. God used politics to get what? To get Mary and Joseph from the town of Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Why would they go otherwise? Why would they go? And that's where my thought came in about Joseph. Think about Mary, 9 months pregnant. 9 months pregnant. And all of a sudden, the government puts out a decree, says you need to go to your hometowns, your towns of lineage, and go for this census. Because the government wanted what? Which most governments always want. They wanted money. They wanted the tax dollars. Come down for the census because it's time to be taxed. I'm thinking, what did Joseph think? You know, do I have to take my future wife, who's 9 months pregnant? Did he throw a tool across the yard? I don't know. I was like, and I'm just thinking, what was in his mind as he had to take Mary on a 3-day journey on a donkey? And no wonder Mary had the baby by the time they got done after 3 days and 9 months pregnant, right? Like, okay, the baby's coming. And so they made this journey, and the government caused them from one spot to another, because God controls the government. God has his hand over governments, over men, to be placed to do what he needs to have done. And we see this example right here. Plus, we know the prophecy had to be fulfilled. And Micah 5:2 says this. And we talked about this before, about this the prophecy of Jesus' birth. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. The prophecy was spoken. So how did they get there? God controlling politics. So that's where the story starts. So politics can move people. Government can move people. Government can tell people what to do, but can government, and this is my other thought, can government move somebody's heart? No. Governments try to control people. Governments look at taxation. Governments do some great things. There's no doubt. Roads and safety issues and some stuff like that. There's some not so good, but governments can move things. But they cannot move somebody's heart. And that's what this story here is about, our hearts. What moves a government can be God. And what moves a government are people if their hearts are in the right spot. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, of where our hearts are. So the location was determined, the birthplace had to happen. Joseph and Mary traveled 3 days. They remained faithful in this struggle. Mary, 9 months pregnant. Joseph, number one, as we talked about last week, who stayed with Mary after he knew that, okay, she was going to be pregnant. It wasn't my child. We already kind of stepped back and looked at that as like, come on, right? But the angel met with Joseph, and Joseph knew, and he followed God. Joseph was a righteous man, and he took Mary, and he took her down to Bethlehem. So Joseph takes Mary down to Bethlehem. Mary, who we looked at last week as well, she was planning for the baby. She was 9 months pregnant. She knew what was going on. She had swaddling clothes. She had clothes with her to wrap the baby up. So she was planning for this baby to be born in Bethlehem. She was kind of ready. But as we know, the town wasn't ready. You couldn't go on your app, right, and text in and say, hey, I need a place at the Holiday Inn. or whatever the inn at the time was, the Bethlehem Inn. And Bethlehem, years ago we were there. It was an amazing experience just to kind of be in the town where my Savior was born. And we actually bought a nativity. And today in Bethlehem, they closed Christmas down. They put Jesus, the baby Jesus, because Bethlehem at the time of Christmas time has always been a town where people go to and have a big celebration. Christians come from all over the world to Bethlehem, and it's a huge economic driver for that town. And all the celebrations have been shut down this year because of the turmoil in Gaza. They put baby Jesus in a pile of rubble. I saw a picture. Instead of in a manger, they put him in a pile of rubble to signify what's going on in Gaza and the turmoil that's taking place. So they went down to Bethlehem. Then the more angel activity we see. We saw the angel activity last week. The angels have come. And this is one thing that we see here. The angels that we talked about last week, they assume that it was Gabriel again. This is what we talked about last week. And they speak this wisdom that is spoken by the angel. So as I started to look at what these angels said to Joseph, what these angels said about Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus to the shepherds, we find this is what they say: God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. In the King James, I use the NIV, the King James calls it goodwill towards men. I love the translation of the NIV here because that's exactly what the intent here is meant, is peace to men on whom his favor rests. What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to have the favor? And if you go back and look at Genesis, you see the favor of God on one brother over another with Cain and Abel. And in Genesis, we might hit into that story if we have time. But the angels were praising God. First, they were praising God, just like the angels did when we talked about last week, which was months ago about John the Baptist. I can't go losing my head here. John the Baptist and Jesus. When the angels came and foretold about this, what was going to take place. The angels now are talking about Christ. The angels now are saying glory to God in the highest. So these angels from a different domain than what we are at know the presence and the height, the majesty and the glory of God. And they're telling these shepherds, these poor shepherds who are out, not these rich guys, not these people who are full of power, but these shepherds that are out in a field. So when I was in Colorado elk hunting, it's kind of funny. When you walk around the Rockies, there's all these drawings and carvings on these trees. I'm like, what? And some of them are like, what in the world were these people? Well, here they're shepherds that walk through the Rockies, and they've been doing it for years. But they're shepherds that go out there and run their sheep through the Rockies for months on end. And these guys were kind of like the same thing. Shepherds, some rough guys out there in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, these angels come to them. And the angels didn't say, hey, guys, what in the world are you doing? The angels didn't come down and judge these guys. The angels didn't come down and give them instructions right off the bat. Hey, you need to be living this way. What are you guys thinking of? What did the angels say? The angels came down and gave them this instruction and said, your Savior, guys, your Savior for all humanity was born today. today. It said, glory to God in the highest, angel said, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. His favor rests. Mary, we talked about last week, she found favor. The angels said, Mary, you are highly favored. So the favor of the Lord, how does that look? How can we find that favor? That's my question. How can we as people, if we're from Atlanta, if we're from Elverson, if we're from Douglasville, if we're from New Holland, wherever we are from, how can we as people find that favor that these angels talked about, that same type of favor that was found upon Mary, highly favored? What favor means, like, kind and compassion, not kind and compassion, but the Lord's favor is upon you, of your heart is in a spot that you are not prideful, you're not about yourself, and you have to, and I have to, we all have to be searching and seeking out who God is, who Jesus is. Our worldview of the reality of life, the reality of Scripture, the reality of relationships with people, the reality of Christmas time together. It's not about the economics of it. It's not about, man, I'm going to sell more stuff out of my store. It's not about, I'm going to get all these gifts so people really like me. A lot of times people do that, right? They get gifts and give them to people so they find favor of somebody. We want the favor of God. How do we find that favor of God as people? Mary found that favor. What kind of peace is that? That's where I want to be. That's the peace that the angels were talking about, the peace of someone's heart. Jesus didn't come for world peace. With Jesus coming on the scene, there's not going to be world peace. We know there's a dividing line between good and evil. We know that Jesus Christ is about the glory of God, that Jesus Christ is about His majesty. Jesus Christ is about us loving Him, about us loving other people and salvation, where the other side of Satan, we know that. So there's this constant battle taking place constantly. Peace isn't going to be here. That peace that the angels spoke about wasn't about humankind peace. That peace that the angels spoke about that came down, that came from the glory of heaven, that came down to talk to these shepherds, was simply and purely about you, me. We can find favor and rest, this peace from God in our life. And Jesus, as we know, was born for that purpose. The prophecies came down and were given for that purpose, for the sole purpose of Jesus Christ being born, if we believe it or not. That's what the angels told us from on high. That's what the prophets have said, that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And then the future of Jesus Christ is being crucified for our sins. Jesus' birth was to provide, so, was soul peace, right? And it kind of sounds weird, soul peace, but that's what it was. We're born into humanity. We're here. If we like it or not, here we are. And many times, many, many times as people, we don't have soul peace. I know this past week, I did not have soul peace. I had soul turmoil. That's what I had. Jesus came for this peace in our life. You know, we're all going to have turmoils. We're all going to have stuff, right? That just happens. But what about our existence after we leave this earth? That's what this was about. Christ being the final sacrifice for salvation for humanity. Many times people, we get confronted with the afterlife. We get confronted with salvation. We get confronted with a story like this, and we think to ourselves, well, I got time, or I don't need to do that right now, or I don't believe that. I don't believe what this prophet said. I don't believe what scripture says. And you hear that all over the place. Many times we're walking around with a burden. So we don't want to pick stuff up. We don't want to look at this. Why? Because maybe we feel ashamed of something. And we carry this stuff, don't we, as people? We carry it, man. Like we put it in our little bag and we pick it up and we carry some shame with us. Well, I can't come to Christ because I'm full of shame. I can't come to Christ because, man, I have this regret of this thing that I did so many years ago. And we all do it. And that those burdens and that turmoil that is within our soul that we can't see past ourself. And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be, not seeing past ourself. The angel said, what did the angel say? And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Jesus came at this point to provide his favor, to give us a soul peace. Peace is available for us. Peace is available to people around us on this road, people that we work with. Peace is available for all people, but not everybody will his favor rest. Why? Because they're not searching. They're not looking because they're carrying too much burden. They're carrying too much shame. They're carrying too much regret. They're carrying too much anger. They're carrying too much turmoil or hatred that they don't want to get down and say, Lord, I need you. That's our world. And many, many people I talk to, that's where they live. They say, Jeff, you don't understand what I have done. And after having a bunch of kids, I realize now, once they get to be teenagers, that I don't understand anything. Because I've heard it a million times. Dad, you don't understand. Okay, yeah. I don't understand once again. And I told my parents the same thing, right? You don't understand that. Yeah. So what do we understand on this? The favor of God. The favor of God. The angel said, the favor of God, if you find it, can take away your shame. The favor of God can take away your regret. The favor of God, if it's upon you, can take away all your sins, your burdens that you are carrying. Salvation is the story of Christmas. Salvation, the beginning of that story, but it had to happen, it had to take place so that Jesus could be born, as the prophets have said, to come for you, to come for me, to come for humanity, but the favor of God cannot be found by government. The favor of God can't be found by a church group. The favor of God, as I see here, comes down to the individual person. The individual person whose heart's affected. The individual person whose heart's affected will change a church. The individual person whose heart is affected can change a government. The individual whose heart is affected, who's reaching out to other people, can take that message to other people. This message of the gospel, because that's what this is about. Christmas time comes down, and it comes down to this question. Do we want soul peace? I don't know where everybody is on their spiritual life, their journey here. Where Christ is in your life is what's presented today. That's what's presented today, where the angel said, if you have the favor of God, if it rests on you, that favor can't be upon us as individuals unless we are seeking it. We have to, as people, accept Christ as who he says he is, as the Savior for humanity, and that his death, that he was the payment for our sin. We need to believe that and accept that and give our soul for soul peace over to Jesus Christ to be our Savior. That's what this is about. My question to you is, do you have that, number one? And maybe some days you have more peace than others. I'm not talking about just an off week that you're all over the place, but I'm talking about true soul peace, where the other week we talked about the rich man and Lazarus, right? That soul peace never happened with the rich man. He was stuck on the other side. And he could look up and he could see, but he says, just give me that drop of water. Father Abraham said, can't make it happen. It's too late. Jesus here saying, if you search me, if my favor rests, you will find salvation. But you got to find it. It's kind of like this. Yesterday when I was doing this, working on this, I was working on my, in Word, right? Word document, and I put this line in there, and it's autocorrect, and all of a sudden there's this line across my paper. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm trying to get it off. You know, I'm scrolling, I'm going, shifting up and up, that hit delete, and the line's still there. I couldn't get this line off. It took me like an hour to figure out. So finally, maybe I'm not too smart, because it took me an hour to figure out, I just need to search Google to see how to get rid of this. So what did I do? I searched. I went to search how to get this line off of my document, because it would take away everything but the line, like words, paragraph. All it was an autocorrect. But I had to search it. I had to search for the answer. If you're searching today for this answer and you're saying, I cannot do this. I can't trust who Jesus Christ is because I have these burdens. No, Jesus doesn't say that. The angels don't say that. Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says the other side. Satan wants you to and us to think that we can't come to Christ because we have all this shame and burdens and I've done this, 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 and that, and the other. That's not what it's about. Christmas time. As we celebrate Christmas, hopefully with family tonight, tomorrow, let's look past the stuff. Let's look past and let's see like this soul peace of where our family is, where we are as ourself. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you can find soul peace today. You can get past all that rejection and anger and hatred right here. Jesus and the angels talk about it. Scripture talks about it. That's what Christmas is about. So my question to you is, do you want, and I'm not sure if it's on the back of that bulletin. I think I wrote it out it should say, do I want that peace? Look on the back of your bulletins. Does it say that there? Bradley, does it say that there? Okay, Bradley. That's our question. My question to myself. Do I want that peace? I know for me, I wanted that peace. For me, I found that peace when I was 18. Well, actually before that, by firm commitment to the Lord when I was 18. I wanted that peace. That peace is available. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, please talk to me after. Let this be the day. Just believing in Christ, coming to the Lord and saying, Father, I know that I am a sinner. I trust you. I know you're my salvation. I put all my trust into you, and I want you to save me and begin your life. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of Christmas time. So at Christmas time, don't be a humbug, even though you sounded pretty good when you're humming. Don't be a humbug. It's not trickery. Scripture is truth. The world is throwing these shiny objects at us all the time from the other side, because everything is against this salvation. That's what God wants from us as individuals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord God, tomorrow and tonight, we know it's not about just, we love the traditions, we love the celebrations, we love the gift givings, but we know it's just not about that. We know it's not just about Santa Claus and Rudolph and all this other stuff, Lord. Lord, we know it's about you coming, you being prophesied about, you being here, coming to earth for the sole purpose to provide us soul peace. Lord, I thank you for my soul peace, Lord. I know I could not do this world without you. I couldn't do my life without you. I couldn't do much without knowing where I am with you. Lord, I pray that other people around us can see into our life and help us to live that people can see that we are different, that we have something different in our life, and that they want that, because that's our job. Lord, help us to do our job well for you, to speak of the gospel, to tell people, especially this time of year, of what you came for. I pray for that, Lord. And Lord, I do just thank you, because I know you are a great God and you want us to enjoy life and you want us to love people and help people and serve people. And Lord, and you want us to use the gifts that you have given us for those things. And we thank you for all those things, Lord. We just pray that we will encourage other people, that we will reach out to other people. And we thank you for this time. In your name we pray. Amen.